Digest Radio.
I go there quite often, to Burger King's, McDonald's. I have children. I have to take them somewhere. I have, I have a 3-year-old daughter and twin 2-year-old boys. Well, thank you. Single people are here.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino.
Moonshot conductor.
Injecting you with the business domination vaccine.
Keep saying that. Are you a doctor, aren't you?
Rendering your competitors to their knees.
It won't hurt a bit.
Yes, it will.
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
It doesn't matter who hurt you or broke you down. What truly matters is who made you smile again. 6:02 on the West Coast, Strategist Radio Live for your Tuesday. Welcome to the 14th day of July, 2015. Today on the program, we're talking about the entrepreneur strategy, 5 benchmarks to double your profits. You'd like to double your profits, wouldn't you? Is that enough? Hey, I'm frequently asked how our strategy consulting firm has been able to grow exponentially each year, and I can assure you that what we do and why and how we do what we do is no accident. Our strategy and business model is never arbitrary or ambiguous. In fact, we adhere to a strategy structure of people, process, and product, while sustaining a watchful eye upon our market, that's our prospective clients and current client book of business, and industry competitors. Not that one size ever fits all, but there are a few essential business adjustments you can make today to help measurably boost your profit potential in the coming years. We'll talk about that on the program today. Also, 7 myths that will stunt your startup. We'll check in with our friends at Entrepreneur for that one. David Waxman will also check in on how embracing failure in business can lead to success. And Jason Pfeffer, co-founder of SodaHead.com, will talk about 5 questions to ask before developing a business idea. All ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live. So during our summer schedule for the last 12, 13 years, we generally take Mondays off in the summertime. It doesn't mean I'm not working. It just means that generally we put the program on hiatus and we do Tuesday through Friday from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. We're glad that you're here. For those of you in the inner circle have been around for the last decade plus, love you very much. And those of you that are new to the inner circle, welcome. And for those that have not opted in yet to become part of the family, it's absolutely free. You can get all the details by visiting the hub at tjmarino.com. All there for you. How's business going for you? Hey, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, send me an email. We read through them all. Send it to support at tjmarino.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you've got audio tracks, video tracks, a blog post you'd like to share, let me know. Again, flip me an email. Send it to support at tjmarino.com. And thank you ahead of time for all your social media pings. I get them each and every day. You're amazing. It encourages me. And it just fuels my tank. And I just want you to know I love you and appreciate you very much.
I love you.
So I want to thank Bruce Taylor. Bruce apparently had a little extra room. He finished his Salem magazine. This is the actual inaugural edition of the first installment, he's the boss, the big publisher over at the Salem Business Journal, has been for a number of years. And this year he got a wild hair and said, you know what, I'm going to team up with Nordstrom and we're going to do this wonderful looking Salem magazine covering some of the heritage in the community, some of the movers and shakers. And then he goes, I got you in the magazine, Tony. So I go and I open the magazine. I'm trying to find this, you know, this big stellar photograph of myself, you know, or something about Trinity, the business or the radio studio or something like that. And I noticed here in the where you have all of the information about all the credits who put the magazine together and so forth, he's got me in there very, very tiny. It's I'm a broadcast journalist, Tony Marino. Apparently Bruce had some extra room in there for he came approached me a couple of months ago and said, hey, we're thinking about doing a business journal radio show, would you mind hosting it here in the community? And I said, sure, absolutely. So we'll probably get into that probably the next few weeks, and I will keep you abreast of what's going on there. It'll certainly be something you can pick up online as well if you're outside the marketplace here. A lot to talk about today on the program because you asked for it. 5 benchmarks to double your profits and kind of how we've done it here over the last 20 years plus. But first, I want to check in with our friends over at Entrepreneur. And there's a lot of jack out there. And you know that. There's a ton of jack on the internet. And it's easy to get confused with so much information in an information age. Everything's moving at the speed of nano. And who do you trust? You know, what's right? What's wrong? Well, I thought I would share with you this wonderful article that was put together, this piece by our friends over at Entrepreneur, particularly Frederick Nielsen. He's the general manager of North America for Axis Communications. And he opens up, he left Sweden, his home was in Sweden, and to help his company expand here in the U.S., started his company as a technical writer and quickly grew into a product management role and eventually the general manager of North America here for the organization. And he shares some of these myths that you will likely, if you have not run up against them yet, you will likely run up against them as you continue to do business. And some of the misnomers, some of the things that, you know, just don't always ring true. We just, you know, sometimes we'll hang our hat on something and count it as gospel. Well, here's these key points that he shares, these 7 myths, and I'll just kind of breeze through them a little bit and see if they resonate with you. First of all, he says one of the big myths is that the best product always wins. The best product, and we always hear about, you know, our model here, a part of our model and strategy is people, process, and product, and commonly in that order. Well, he's saying the best product doesn't always win, and I tend to agree. A good product certainly is important. The product will get you attention, early customers, and perhaps an excited staff. But don't be fooled if your company can't support that product and the customers find them too difficult to use. You will run into trouble eventually. Having a solid sales strategy is equally important, especially as soon as any hype and buzz dies down, because there's that product life cycle. You know, it's like a big bell curve. From the immediate product launch, you also need to work toward implementing the best service practices so that your customers feel supported, want to come back and feel important to do compelled with you, and be able to have you stand out before your own competitors within your particular market sector. And that's so the best product doesn't always win without the right support. Okay. Number 2 myth, Frederick says it's nearly impossible as a small company to compete with the big boys. And I totally agree with him on this one. The answer on that one is false. And you know, companies like Sony and Cisco and Bosch, I mean, there's a lot of competition out there from the big names. However, if you stay focused on your business goals and committed to your particular product expertise with the knowledge that the bigger brand names, just like kind of they do, you can actually carve your own niche. One of the things we talked about in the last couple of weeks has been geo-targeting. You know, instead of just going out there and trying to blanket the entire domestic borders or transcending it into an international firm from your basement, if you're running as a sole proprietor like that, running on a shoestring, you can still compete in the geo markets. You know, even though they might have brand name market share, you can keep your heads down and outperform them from a perspective of trust, because you don't have to go through all these different layers when making decisions. Service, maybe it's experience perspective, learning how to focus, especially on the big boys' downfalls. And we do that here at the firm by looking at strengths and weaknesses and external forces such as threats and opportunities in the marketplace. We've talked about that through the SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And when we do our competitive analysis, we're going to look and see where they might have these holes, where they're underperforming. And if you can identify these downfalls, you can fill those niches. But don't mistake this advice by thinking you should compete on cost. That is probably going to be difficult because they can buy on scale. All right. But there's other areas such as service and trust and experience and really developing that one-to-one relationship with your customers as a small business. The number three myth is you better lower your price if you want to gain market share. Well, that's not always the answer. In fact, Frederick says he didn't lower their costs for his company price standards at all. He said he realized that they didn't want to be known as the lowest cost. They wanted to be known as the most valuable and the company that provided the most profitable business model for their partners over the long haul. He wanted his customers to be happy and wanted repeat sales. But you'd be surprised on how very little that correlates to delivering the lowest price tag, because the more you do, the more value your product's worth perceptually from the consumer or your customer, the more you're going to probably have to pay, because there's more bells and whistles to keep it fortified and to keep it valuable. So having a value-first mentality trickles down to your product, service, and sales team, and all of your channels for the most part. If your product lifecycle matches a long-term customer relationship, your company will avoid the otherwise inevitable sales and customer service hiccups. So you want to also think long-term. It's a lot less expensive, in fact, almost free in many cases, to keep your current client base alive with a little bit of good, solid follow-up, purposeful follow-up, all right, than it is to go out and obtain acquire a new customer base. The channel is your only priority, and that's another myth. The channel that you have, is that the only way that it's going to work? We spend a lot of time listening to even clients that don't actually sign up on board with us. Why didn't they sign it? Well, was it cost? Was it that we didn't articulate the need to be satisfied, or the goal to be attained, or maybe the problem to be solved? Maybe we didn't pitch it right. Maybe our communications was ill-structured. And so if you listen carefully, you can realize that there's more than one channel process as you're putting together deals with your customers, regardless of what particular product or service you sell. He also talks about taking shortcuts and quick wins if it helps you get ahead. It's actually quite the opposite. He took his team in the long-term approach to the market and realized quickly that there was no quick wins. And I'm sure if you've been in business for longer than 10 minutes, you realize that there is no easy button to success. It is going to take time. You could get lucky and be the exception, but the rule is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years before you start to really build up that track record. Your growth will plateau. That's another myth. Sales goals always decrease as growth hits, but as long as you can continue to deliver and scale, you don't want to settle, Frederick says, and I agree. Push your team and company to hit new goals. And if big companies can hit big growth rates, then why can't your nimble team? So by discerning the rate of growth your company can sustain, you should also keep the most important scalability requirements and questions in mind. First, what is your long-term potential? Are you limiting yourself by addressing only a limited part of the market? Sometimes we can segment our market too much. We can make it too homogenous. Second, who can you partner with and trust to stay committed? And then third, what is your value, and will customers stay interested in future releases and products? And that's why sometimes you'll see people that will create products with a longer tail, long tail, where you might have, we'll use a company like WordPress, right? So obviously once you start using it, and then here comes a new update and a new update, here's new plugins and new themes, et cetera, et cetera. So it keeps you interested in the product relative to innovation. Plus, you grow accustomed to it. You know, you become familiar with it. And finally, Frederick says, don't expect your culture to stay the same with growth. And similar to their approach to scaling from a growth perspective, Frederick said his culture within his organization was pushed to its limits as well. The hiring was rapid through their process, but it was controlled. They took a serious long-term approach to keeping their renowned culture intact as they grew, And as their products and services grew as well, they kind of scaled their employees. But the point was that don't expect your culture to stay the same with growth. That's a myth. Your culture is generated within your organization. And if you nurture it and you parent it properly and you listen to it and you're focused on the culture rather than, you know, your personal agendas, egos, things like that are just going to get in the way, being stubborn, which we're going to talk about later on this week, of how stubbornness can really hold you back and how you can get out of that framework of being stubborn and being closed-minded. So once you position your culture, it's like anything else in business. It's like your business is a child. You're the parent. You're the overseer. It's your job to nurture the child, to feed the child, to keep the child laughing, to keep the child healthy, et cetera, et cetera. I want to thank our friends over at Entrepreneur for providing this piece. Particularly, I want to thank Frederick Nielsen, General Manager of North America for Axis Communications, and our friends over at Entrepreneur. Check out entrepreneur.com today.
Strategist Radio.
All right, 16 past 6 o'clock here in the morning. Before we talk about five benchmarks to double your profits, let's check in with David Waxman. He's a serial entrepreneur and startup mentor at Amplify LA. He talks about failure in startups and learning how to embrace failure in a way that will lead you to succeed.
One thing I do when I meet with new founders and new teams is to sit them down and say, look, one of these days... In fact, probably on more than one occasion in the next few months, you're going to sit down one day and you're going to think, crap, this business is going to fold tomorrow. It happens because a partner leaves you, a supplier leaves you, a big client leaves you, maybe you've got a problem with one of your investors. This stuff happens and it's part of starting a company. So you got to prepare for that and let your team know, like, we're going to face some hard times as well as these great times. And as much as you celebrate the great ones, the hard times will come. When they come, you have to just embrace it and push through and lock arms. And what I've seen most of the time, like 90% of the time, is you get through these things. These days don't come with a locked door when you come to work. They result in getting through the problem, and that makes teams more powerful afterwards. So every company is faced with failure, but when you push through those moments and you lock arms and march as a team and get through to the other side, it only makes you stronger.
Strategist Radio.
Six 18 Tuesday morning. Welcome to your 14th day of July 2015. This is what's on tap for the rest of this week. Strategist Radio Live, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time. Tomorrow on the program for Wednesday, Success Strategy, how to transform yourself into a master innovator. Important program tomorrow. Thursday, extremely essential, Leadership Strategy, how a stubborn mind can impair your business decisions and how to get out of that. On Friday, we'll round out the week with Book Marketing Strategy and how to leverage a successful author's influence. All ahead this week, Strategist Radio Live. All right, let's check in with Jason Pfeffer. Talks about questions to ask. You got this great idea, right? But how do you know if you should take it forward? How do you know if your idea's got any kind of feasibility attached to it? Questions to ask before developing a business idea. Jason Pfeffer shares.
Three questions I always ask the entrepreneur who comes to me with an idea, and they are you willing to give up everything? Is anyone else doing this? And why you? And I've come to those three questions as the list of things to ask of entrepreneur after being at several successful and some unsuccessful companies. I joined a company back in 1999, you know, trying to take on the web, raised hundreds of millions of dollars, hired over 400 people, and the company just didn't go anywhere. Been at another company that there were 17 of us and we turned into MySpace. And so I've been able to see both sides of the equation, a success and a failure, and really learned that it's these three questions that can determine the success. Now, before the entrepreneur comes to me or tells me the idea, we sit down, a cup of coffee or whatever, and it just happened yesterday, and I tell the person, wait, stop, don't tell me your idea. First, I'm going to tell you it's going to fail. It's going to fail, don't do it. And I want you to know this before you tell me your idea. Because it's not the idea that's going to make or break the next biggest web company in the world, the biggest retail business in the world. It's the execution of that business. And the execution is more than a single person. When you're talking about building a company that's going to be a large, successful company, you need a team of people. And that's because one person doesn't have everything. So are you willing to give up everything is the first thing I tell them. After telling them they're going to fail, and I hear their idea, I say, are you willing to give up everything to make this a success? Are you going to work the 20, 24-hour days, the 48-hour days that is needed to go into building a company? Do you have a family? Do you have friends? Do you have a hobby? Throw them all out the window. If you're going to make this company succeed, you need to be able to sacrifice that. Are you going to give up on being with your newborn baby to make your business work? Are you going to give up on watching the Super Bowl because your company needs you on Sunday? These are questions you have to ask yourself about building a company. Next question is anyone else doing this? This is about the competition in the marketplace. Why is there no one else doing this? The entrepreneur always tells me this great idea that they came up with. They had this epiphany. This is what the world needs. And I tell them, well, then why is no one else doing it? Are you that smart? Really, are you that smart that no one else thought of this? Google wasn't the first company to think of search. They were just able to do it better. So maybe if no one is doing the business, it's because no one needs it. And if someone else is doing it, then how can you do it better than them? So when we were at MySpace, there was another social network called Friendster, and we said, we're going to do it better than them, and this is how we're going to do it. Google was able to do search better and monetize it better than the predecessors. So, and there's sometimes room in the marketplace for two. So if no one else is doing it, is it really that good of an idea? Has anybody else, have you done your homework and searched to see if anyone else did it and failed in the past and you never heard about it because it was a bad idea? And just because it might have failed doesn't mean it's a bad idea. Maybe they didn't execute it well, which kind of goes into the third question. Why you? Why are you going to make the next Google, the next eBay, the next Facebook or MySpace? Why are you going to be able to do it better than the people who either failed or the people who are in the marketplace? What is your experience in this domain? What are your connections to sales, to hiring people, to getting the technology? What about you that makes it different that's going to give you a leg up against everybody else? Do you have enough resources? Having an idea and a friend that's a programmer isn't enough. You need a lot of resources to make a company succeed. Whether it's corporate infrastructure, are you going to be an LLC, an S Corp, a C Corp, are you raising money? I mean, basic business needs need to be taken care of. And if you don't have the resources to get past the hurdle of building a business, then you're not going to be able to succeed on executing your idea. And then the third step of that is not just executing the idea, but monetizing it. How do you know how to make money off of this business idea? Who else has done it? Who are you going to go to raise, to sell this business, to sell the product, the service? What is in it that you bring to the table that's going to make this a success? And usually by the end of that conversation, they go back to the first thing I said, which is, oh, this looks hard. I think I'm going to fail. And I tell them, look, it's not you. It's not your idea. It's a lot of information to build a company, which is why most fail. And so the list of are you willing to give up everything, is there anyone else doing it, and why you, if they can't answer those three things confidently after 5 minutes of talking at a coffee, give up. Don't start. And if I can discourage you from doing it right now, then you really don't have the aptitude to start it and go at it full time.
Strategist Radio.
Yeah, you're either in it to win it or just bail. Go out and get yourself a Starbucks, put your feet up, some chocolates, maybe a good cigar, maybe some scotch, and just enjoy life. It ain't easy, man. If everybody could do what we do as entrepreneurs, as business leaders, whew, yeah. All right, so let's talk about five benchmarks to double your profit. These are not the end all. These are just some ideas. All right, here's some things you have to do. You really have to do. There's many more. All right. But, you know, we got 5 minutes and we're not here to solve every problem in the world. But I'm here to remind you of things that you've probably long forgotten. Some steps that we do each and every day. We're always focusing on it. This is kind of our culture and probably yours, too. Begin early. You want to know early. You want to fail early. You want to get into it early. Many small companies determine their growth plans for the upcoming year sometime in the latter part of the year, you know, November, December. That's a bad idea. That's way too late. My dad used to say, if you get up in the morning or go to bed the night before and you haven't figured out that plan for the next day or next week, you're behind the eight ball. So if you want to double your revenue in a particular year, then the revenue machine has got to get cranking like immediately the first of the year. So when January 1st hits, we're already thinking. In other words, you got to start your new product development or new business development in quarter three to start generating any sort of revenue for the following year. You understand? So a lot of this happens true. We talk about this with authors, for example. They don't do their time. They don't put the time in. They're going to just finish the book. They're going to roll it out. And they expect everything to happen in 2 or 3 months. It's a one-year project. All right. So get in there early. You've got to be a dreamer. You've got to be a believer. Might be the hardest of the things that we do. But it's if you program yourself, and if you do it over and over again, you form a habit. The idea of doubling your revenue requires a gigantic paradigm stretch for most people, and they never really get started. And it's a lot of times because they just don't believe. They don't have that belief. They don't have that faith. And without faith, without belief, without the dream, the action steps that you put together are going to fail. Big revenue requires executing on big plans, and big plans require huge dreams. It's another reason to start early. You need time to train your brain into accepting the idea that you can and will double or triple your income. You need to see your company as being twice as big as what it is when you're making your plan. Always look at the goal line with the end in mind. Envision and believe and talk to yourself. Otherwise, you'll never execute. You always have to be prepared to deal with the haters, too. And the naysayers, we talk a lot about that, but you just ignore them. What they think of you and your ideas, none of their business, unless it's your target audience, then you need to pay attention. So those who say something cannot be done should not interrupt those who are busy doing it. Next, you got to build this revenue stream, this revenue ladder, I like to call it. Unless you launch a killer new product, it's unlikely that you can double your revenue based on your single offering. So you've got to figure out, what are my product lines? What are my pillars? How deep do I go? I might have a $10 product. Do I have a $30 product? Do I have a $100? Do you have a $10,000 product? So you have to be able to have the type of product with the type of price points that are going to be able to establish or generate that double your income process. You've also got to determine, you got to stretch your goals, okay? You've got to step outside your comfort zone. You have to be nimble. You have to be dynamic. This is another one. You've got to stretch. You've got to stretch your plan. You've got to be ready to make changes at all times. Remain dynamic, but always think larger and believe. Again, that goes back to 2, 3, 4. All of these are intermingled. And then finally, you've got to reward those. You've got to reward these individuals that are part of the success. Compensate team members, trips, pats on the back continuously, raises, portions of the proceeds, etc. So think about these things when you want to double your profits. There's so much more I can talk about that, and we generally do it each and every day here on the program. Tomorrow on the program, here's where we go, because we're just out of time. Business strategy tomorrow is going to be all about how to transform yourself into a master innovator. Innovation is the key to business success circa right now. You don't want to miss tomorrow's program. Make it a great rest of your Tuesday. God bless you. Thanks for being my friend. We'll see you on the flip side. Kelly, close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on The Strategist Radio Live.